The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Just who is the mysterious harlot of Revelation 17? Who is this designated woman who rides the beast of Revelation 17? How will she affect your life soon? Can you clearly prove her identity from the Bible and from history? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith identifies the harlot of Revelation 17. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, prophetic events are speeding up. Events in Europe, events in the Middle East, and events right here in North America are beginning to come together to fulfill Bible prophecy. The great God is in charge of nations. When describing the banishing of ancient King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, notice what the great God inspired Daniel to write. He shows who he is. This is his inspired word. Notice what Daniel wrote back in Daniel 4 and verse 17. He says here, "This decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." Yes, God rules in the kingdoms of men. He guides events overall. He allows Satan to deceive humanity, but he does intervene to set up rulers and to take down rulers and to guide the overall situation to fulfill his purpose. In his inspired word, the eternal God describes a foul religio-political system, a great system which will soon arise just before Christ returns. And this system is not some ancient system at all. This is a system going to begin to develop, and in fact already developing in Europe. Go get your Bible if you have one handy. Check up on me again and prove these things for yourself. Notice Revelation chapter 17. Let's turn to the book of Revelation now, chapter 17 and beginning in verse 12. God is describing kings at the very end of this age, just before Christ's return. He says, "And the ten horns are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour, a very short time, with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." They will give their power and authority to a man that God describes as the beast, an apparent dictator, a great king or emperor over a whole system that's going to arise. And you'll see it's not some ancient thing, as some so-called scholars try to make it out to be. It's obviously at the end of the age, the next several years, just before Christ's second coming to this earth. He says they'll give their authority to the beast, these ten kings. These final ten kings will make war with the Lamb. They're going to make war with Jesus Christ at His second coming. "And the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." They have the audacity to fight Christ at His coming. Who are these ten kings? How could they be so badly deceived as to fight Christ Himself? That's amazing. Think about that. Now notice verse 15. "And he said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sits,'" here a harlot, a great whore, a harlot is introduced, sitting on many waters. The harlot sits on these waters, and these waters are peoples, multitudes, great vast numbers of people, nations, different nations, speaking different tongues. "And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot." These final ten kings in the end will hate the harlot and burn her with fire. They're going to turn on this woman, whoever this woman is, this great harlot. "For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill His purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast, this coming dictator, until the words of God are fulfilled." Again, my friends, God is in charge. The God of heaven is about to intervene and change everything around you. And I'm not exaggerating. Everything around you is going to change within the next 10 to 25 years. And it's going to start changing a lot less than that, a lot less time. Perhaps even in 3 to 6 years, the world will begin to change rapidly. And events are starting to happen in the Middle East and Europe right now that are a prelude to those final events. And you really need to understand, to read this book, to grasp the fact that there is a real God. That great God is working out a purpose here below. He really is. It's going to change everything around you. Please understand. Begin to seek the God of the Bible. Begin to seek the Creator God, the real God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, the God that is intervening powerfully and going to intervene very powerfully within the next several years. Yes, God has put it in their hearts to fulfill His purpose and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman, this great woman, this harlot, whom you saw, is that great city which reigns or rules over the kings of the earth. What great city has ruled over the kings of the earth? You have to think about that. And wow, what a woman. What a woman is this who guides this beast, who guides and orchestrates these things overall. Who is this dreadful woman? And why should you be concerned about her? To understand, let's go back to the beginning of this chapter. Go back to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, containing the seven last plagues, you may remember, came and talked with me, saying, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot." I'm going to show you what's going to happen to a great fallen woman, a great harlot who sits on many waters. And we just saw those waters are many nations speaking different languages, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The kings of the earth have gotten into illicit relation. And this woman has got into illicit relation and the politics and the wars of this world. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk through the wine of her fornication. Her false teachings have deceived the world. And apparently the whole world to some extent, when you understand it, permeating all around this earth. False ideas about God, false ideas about Christ, false ideas about religion and about the purpose of human existence. People have been made drunk, spiritually drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. But let's pause right here. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, a woman riding the beast. She is in charge, like a woman riding a horse. She's in control. The horse may be bigger. The horse may be more powerful, but she is in charge, guiding and orchestrating where that horse, where that beast goes. We should let the Bible interpret itself regarding its own symbols. The Bible interprets the Bible. Please understand that. And so let's turn back to Revelation chapter 12 if we want to understand who a woman is in Bible prophecy. Revelation 12, and let's begin reading here in verse 1. He describes a great sign appearing in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Many interpret and understand this as ancient Israel and the 12 tribes and the 12 patriarchs. Then, being with child, she cried out in pain to give birth, and another sign appears, the devil trying to destroy, of course, this child. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them on the earth. And the dragon, who's identified in Revelation 12, verse 9, as Satan, stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. God tells us in His Word back in Acts 7:38, He talks about ancient Israel as the church in the wilderness. And so ancient Israel, the church in the wilderness, so to speak, as it became the time of Christ, carrying on down, that woman, that church, gave birth to the Messiah. Jesus was a Jew. And so this is talking about the church, but the church in the wilderness, the Old Testament church giving birth. And the Satan trying to devour her child as soon as it was born. You remember how Herod had all the little boy babies, 2 years old and under, destroyed all around that area, and was awful, horrifying. But that's what he did. And Satan worked through human instruments to destroy Christ. and she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Yes, this is talking about the Christ. And then her child was caught up to God in his throne. Christ ascended to heaven. And then the woman, now the New Testament church of God, fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God. So the church had to flee into a place of safety from the Roman persecution for quite a long time. The church had to flee to a place of safety. And then later, describing how Satan is going to come back down at the end of the age with great wrath because he knows he has his short time, it says in verse 13, "Now when the dragon," or Satan, "saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place." Again, the New Testament church is protected at the very end of the age. The true church of God is composed of those who obey his laws, who serve him, who have his spirit. He identifies that more in verse 17. "The dragon," here at the time of the end, "was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God." That's pretty plain. They keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. This is the true church of God. And the church is called a woman. In chapter 14, verse 12, a little more on that one point, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, that absolute trust in God. How could anything be more clear? This term woman refers to a church, and so we need to understand that very clearly. Before continuing, I want to offer you an exciting and yet fully documented booklet that explains this entire matter. This booklet is entitled The Beast of Revelation. This powerful, yet easy-to-read booklet will give you biblical and historical proof regarding the identity of the mysterious beast of Revelation and of the woman who rides the beast. This booklet, The Beast of Revelation, is the most thorough proof of this matter you'll find anywhere. So call or write today for your absolutely free copy of this booklet, The Beast of Revelation.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. Who is the harlot of Revelation 17? We were in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, just before the break. Chapter 12, the dragon, Satan, at the end of the age, is enraged with a woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The true church of God obeys God's law. And that is, of course, very, very clear, as I've explained so many times. But the church is identified as a woman throughout the Bible. Now notice Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul makes this distinction here also. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church." He says the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church." Christ is the husband of the church, you see, and this relationship is pictured. Christ is the husband, the church as the wife, the church as a woman, and gave himself for it. Then we read back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, picking up in verse 1 this time, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me," Paul writes, For I'm jealous for you with the godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband. And here they, the church, were pictured as the affianced bride of Christ, a woman. I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And so that's the picture. The church is as a woman. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent beguiled Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't let your minds get all messed up by Satan the devil, he's telling us. And we must be sure we don't do that. For if he who comes, some other ministers come along, which they did after the death of Christ and the original apostles, and they changed everything, he says, so if he who comes preaches another Jesus, a whole different Jesus Christ, not the Christ of the Bible, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And that's what human beings do. Whatever's around, they just assume it's okay. If it's their family religion or whatever they grew up in, they go along with it. And they're very easily deceived. But God tells us here the church is the fiancé bride of Christ in the position of a woman. And so the term woman symbolizes a church throughout the New Testament. That's very clear. Let's return now to Revelation 17. And now let's go back to verse 3 where we left off here. So he carried me away into the Spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, the woman riding the beast, the woman in charge of the coming beast of Revelation, having seven heads and 10 horns. And this woman, notice as described, was arrayed in purple. Purple signifies royalty. Scarlet signifies harlotry, a royal whore, a royal harlot, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Looks very good on the surface, but God said it is awful. It just changes everything about the approach to God and His true religion and the whole purpose of life when you understand. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So this is a mother of harlots and a mother of abominations. That's an awful statement, but that is what God Himself says. Notice the next verse, verse 6. And I saw this woman drunk with the blood of the saints. The true saints of God have been persecuted by this woman. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. How could this happen? This kind of a woman, this kind of a fallen woman, a wrong church persecuting God's true saints. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and 10 horns. And the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. At the time of the end, the beast is down, but is going to ascend one more time before Christ returns. And those who dwell on the earth were marvels, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast that was, it's existed, frankly, for hundreds of years, and is not, and yet is. Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So the woman rides these kingdoms. The woman rides the beast. Many scholars have identified this beast of Revelation as the Roman Empire with its various resurrections. It's often been called the Holy Roman Empire. Not necessarily holy in God's sight, but that's what it calls itself. Will the Holy Roman Empire be resurrected in our time? Will this mysterious woman ride or control a final revival of the Roman Empire just before the return of Christ? Notice Revelation 17, again, verse 18. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns or rules over the kings of the earth. A very powerful woman ruling over a city, ruling over the kings of the earth, sitting on a beast. Clearly, this involves a religio-political system soon to rise, which God hates. I say soon to rise because, my friends, we're getting close to the second coming of Christ. All kinds of events are happening in the world and in the Middle East that indicate that. A great power is rising in Europe right now that you need to think about, read about, watch. God tells us to watch world events. And this system in the past has made all nations spiritually drunk. They cannot see straight. They cannot understand spiritual things. Notice now Revelation 18. Let's turn to the next chapter. And, of course, this book reads right on. Men divided these scrolls of Isaiah or Matthew or Revelation into various chapters. The story flow goes right on. Revelation 18. After these things, John writes, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons. Can we understand that? At the time of the end, this system, which may look good to men, is going to be filled with fallen spirits, with demons, coming right out of Satan's hell. We need to grasp that fact. A lot of people just go along, well, you know, nothing exciting, and you're just sounding like some Old Testament prophet or some oddball. I'm reading to you the Word of God, my friends. These things are going to change your life. This whole society is beginning to change, and it is going to change dramatically within the next 10 to 25 years and begin to change, I feel, very much within the next 3 to 6 years as these events get going. So you watch. You understand. We're not talking about the sweet by and by. We're not talking about fairy tales. We're talking about reality that is going to affect people in Canada and Britain and the United States and Australia and the entire earth, more than most of you even begin to realize. This system is going to become the habitation of fallen spirits, of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Sometimes the birds, the vultures, are pictured like that, picking up after, vast destruction. And he's picturing demons like that. For all the nations, he didn't say some nations, all the nations have been drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So we have to understand that all of them have drunk of this wine, this false doctrine. The kings of the earth have committed fornication. They've got into relationship with this woman, which is foul in God's sight. And the merchants of the earth, it's going to be a great trading system, making hundreds of billions of dollars for great merchants over there. Think about it. They become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. That's what God commands you. And I'm telling you this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Please think. Follow me. Be willing to prove these things to yourself. God Almighty, the Creator, tells us, come out of this entire system. Will you obey the God of the Bible? For those who remain in this system are going to be deceived. And they'll be so deceived that they will end up fighting Christ at His second coming. God shows you that. And I explained that a little earlier, back in chapter 17. Then they will be destroyed. Come out of her, God commands. And that's what God tells you now. Come out of this system, lest ye receive or share in her sins, and lest ye receive her plagues. The seven last plagues of God are revealed elsewhere in this book as coming on that very system. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you. She has persecuted God's saints down through the ages. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she's mixed, mix for her double. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, God says. For she says in her heart, people in this system think they're great. It's never going to happen to them. She says, I sit as queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. That's what is going to be the attitude of people in this system within a few years. They will think they're invisible. They will think they're doing the will of God. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Very quickly, the great God will intervene at the end of 3.5 years of tribulation upon the peoples of America, the British peoples of Canada, Britain, Australia, and elsewhere. God will finally intervene, and when He starts to intervene, He will intervene quickly and extremely powerfully, supernaturally. And so her plagues will come in one day, death, mourning, famine, and she will utterly be burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. this fallen woman, this harlot of Revelation 17. My friends, turn with me now, if you would, to Luke, the 21st chapter. He's been describing events at the time of the end, and he tells us to be very careful. He tells us not to get absorbed in our daily lives, and God concludes speaking through Luke, talking about the end time events clearly as you read it. Luke 21:36. Watch, therefore, God commands, we're to watch world events. Watch this system rise up. Be alert. Think about what I've said. Reread these chapters for yourself. Write for this powerful booklet on the beast and understand. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray for courage to act on the truth. Pray for courage to come out of this system. And now, once again, my friends, as an immense help to you in really understanding these things, be sure to call or write immediately for our free booklet, a powerful booklet entitled The Beast of Revelation. This exciting booklet will give documented proof of the identity of the Beast of Revelation. There is nothing like this booklet available anywhere else. Get on the phone right now. We have a toll-free number. Even the call is free. The operators are waiting. Ask for The Beast of Revelation.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week to another powerful Tomorrow's World program. You'll be taught and challenged by this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern professing Christian world. Each week, Richard Ames and I give you understanding of topics that most people never grasp. They're never taught in professing Christianity today. We go behind the scenes and give you the real meaning of world news. We open up prophecy and the understanding of prophecy in a way you've probably never heard before. Prophecy is moving swiftly ahead. You need to understand, and we're here to give you that understanding every single week. So tune in next time, same place, same channel. We'll see you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.